Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Hi guys, welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. Our first wedding anniversary together, and I decided to come on here and tell you guys a little bit about marriage, at least what I think, and I dragged along my reluctant...
I wasn't reluctant.
Well, I dragged along my husband today to talk about what marriage has been for the two of us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, welcome you guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. So our wedding planning has long been over.
Thank God.
The wedding is gone. Well, the ceremony is gone. But I just wanted to talk about what the first year of marriage was like. Mm. I know a lot of people told us about what being married would be like. But yeah, what did you hear about being married?
So to give background, we got married on the 4th of November.
4th and 5th. Because we had two ceremonies. We had a traditional wedding on the 4th. And then we had
the white wedding.
The white wedding, of course, on the 5th mm-hmm. of November. And it was really exhausting.
It was.
I don't know why we did that.
Are you asking me or are you explaining your answer?
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, how people explain marriage to us was... sometimes it seemed exhausting. Mm. Like they were like, oh, you have to deal with, you know, in-laws, or you have to deal with, you know, money issues. And some were true, mm-hmm. but I don't think they were as, they're not as stressful as people say. Yeah, no, I was just thinking, maybe it's, they say you should plan for the worst and hope for the best. It seems kind of dire, but I don't think that's what our marriage has been like.
Anyway, yeah,
this one-year review that we're doing.
And I think it's because we didn't put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Right.
Marriage is a big responsibility, mm-hmm. but when you don't have the added pressure that comes with just trying to please people, mm-hmm. I think it goes a whole lot better.
I think, again, I'm speculating here. I think it would be a little bit more stressful when you have little history with the person you're getting
right.
married to.
And then it's all like a learning process.
Right, and right. you're just learning everything mm-hmm. as you're married. Mm-hmm. You know, that mm-hmm. that would take a bit of a toll.
Right, right. Because you'd be constantly surprised at things right, you're discovering. That, mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know this. And that happens a lot of arranged marriages as well.
Right.
Not to say that people who've dated forever don't have problems.
Right, right.
But it just helps when you know each other a little bit more.
Cool.
Yeah, so why did we cramp the whole wedding thing into one weekend? Like the traditional wedding, and then we even planned to have like a wedding party
right
bus
on oh yeah
bus.
We
so many oh my god we had so many grand ideas, but when that weekend actually came, we realized that we were responsible for our parents
mm-hmm.
because we got married in Nashville, Tennessee, and we realized that we were responsible for our parents mm-hmm. like making sure everyone is settled
right.
There was just a lot of things to do, that all the grand things that we planned, like
we had a lot of friends coming not just coming from out of state mm-hmm. within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
We had friends coming from Nigeria.
Right.
Tayo came from Qatar? No.
Where did he come from? Kuwait?
Yes, he was coming out from Kuwait.
So, I remember him saying that I came all the way for you guys. Right. And yeah.
So we had a ton of people coming from different areas, and it was a little hard scheduling everyone's time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a little tough, but I think we still made it work.
I think we did.
Everyone had fun,
mm-hmm.
which is the key thing.
We had fun.
Yeah, we definitely
had
fun.
We were very exhausted. Let me tell you, after the wedding, because I planned for a lot of things. I planned mm-hmm. for even my wedding shoes being mm-hmm. exhausted from wearing that. I even had like flats to wear after the wedding mm-hmm. and things like that. And then let me tell you guys something that happened after the wedding. So after the wedding, guess who was limping to the car? Ade.
I just
because you bought new shoes.
I hadn't worn them.
You hadn't worn them, and you didn't break into those shoes.
Oh no!
You didn't realize because I was breaking into my shoes every single day for the last 3 months before the wedding.
Well.
So to ensure that it didn't hurt my feet, and even when I wore the shoes, I only wore it for about an hour. And I took it off and wore like really comfortable shoes. So yeah, someone didn't think about that.
Helpful tip. When you buy new shoes, always try to break into
them months before. And they always tell you that right after the wedding, you would like fly off to your honeymoon. But we couldn't do that because our friends were still there. Our family was around.
Yeah.
And I think after the wedding, you just like passed out.
Oh yeah, this is exhausting. It was really exhausting. But the good thing was that, and especially, you know, because we're Africans, family is everything. I think it was really helpful, our folks still being around, because, you know, we're still able to go back to them. They gave us some advice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, chatted from time to time. I think we also tried to go out at one point, but it was cold.
Oh, it was so cold. But that weekend we got married was the only weekend
it was
in
warm.
November
yeah,
when
that
it was
warm.
So that was a blessing. All right, guys. So now you know about our wedding. recap, if you weren't there. You can tell everyone you were because we've given you the highlights. Yeah. So let's talk about things that we definitely have encountered since we've been married that for us has been different from the single life. Right. I mean, let's talk about the good things. Let's start from the good things and then we can talk about the challenges.
Sure.
Right. So what are some of the things that you find to be very beneficial about being in a marriage, at least for the first year?
I think our faith. You know, we're both Christians. And our faith in God has definitely gotten stronger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're able to do more things together and reading the Bible. We have this Bible app.
Right.
And we set out plans, try to set out a schedule to read a Bible plan every other week. And then we pray together. We're driving out in the morning. We're always praying together. We get back home in the evening, praying together for, you know, God's blessing and Him keeping us. So definitely our faith has gotten stronger. And it's always good to have that other person that's, you know, your partner that's beside you,
right?
That's praying for you constantly, you know, just praying for your well-being and
yeah, I think, you know, that's a blessing. And then I also enjoy just sitting and watching TV with you. Little things like that, like watching TV, taking walks, going hiking.
Right.
These little things that I used to overlook in the past when I was single and didn't have, you know, it wasn't a big deal. All of a sudden it's an event when you're married now. It's like you're sharing that experience.
And I think the great thing about being in Nashville is that it's very outdoorsy. So they have some really nice parks that we can go on hikes.
Right.
And that's something that we found joy in doing.
Right. So, and there's always something to do in Nashville every weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, all you have to do is go on Facebook events and just look something up. And there's always something to do.
Oh, recently we went to, did we talk about this? We went to Dixon, Tennessee.
Ooh, yeah.
We went for a symphony there.
Yeah, it was my first time, actually. Well, not my first time.
No, it was my first time.
Yeah, your first time.
And they were giving out tickets. They were doing a raffle draw.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a raffle draw. And there were hundreds of people that were at that place. So
I think it's the they were giving tickets to their next show.
Right.
Shown for next year.
For next year.
Star Wars.
Star Wars Symphony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we got there maybe a little late because we didn't find good seats.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, you know, we put in our, you know, Ozzy puts in puts both of our names, and I'm like, don't put our address or something. Also, like, I was saying something like, don't put our number
privacy
or something.
Or something. I'm just like, how are they gonna find us if we win? Like, how are they gonna contact us? Like,
you know? So she puts in, you know, those details, and puts in like this really big box,
and we're like, there were like 200 people over two.
Yeah, there were a good number.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the end of the show comes, and you know, we're the symphony, and then they finally call the raffle draw. We were thinking that they were going to call more than one person.
Right.
So we're just, you know, assuming, hoping for the best, I guess.
Right.
And then it was the conductor that was reading. He picked out a name from the box.
Right.
Right.
And as soon as he took one step back and he looks at the name
He looks at the name twice. I'm like,
that's got to be a Nigerian name.
This name is too complex for him. Too complex.
Yeah. And he actually did not say the name. He said the address. Which was really funny because I was just like, if I didn't write that,
mm.
if I did yeah, not well, write yeah. that, And then he gave the lady, and the lady said,
"Right, yeah, she pronounced she
Ozioma." Yeah. I always get that. I was like, "Yay!" And it was really amazing. Yeah, so the point we're making is that we go to all these events, mm-hmm. and I think being married, you don't have to be married to go to these events, but
yeah.
it's actually fun to have someone to go to.
Right.
Go with to these events, and then we actually won a couple tickets. So mm-hmm. we're gonna be going to the Star Wars
Symphony
next year. Mm-hmm. Awesome, for free. what else do you love about being married?
Let's see. Chores. Do I love it? No. But I like the fact that we're able to split work. Why you give me that look?
It did get a little getting used to get to this point. But in America, you kind of have to do things yourself, you know? There's no help. You can actually get people to help you with these things, but it's expensive, quite pricey. So we have to split the chores. So I'm glad that it came organically. I'll clean this, you clean that.
So it was an option.
It's never an option. We're in America now. It's not an option.
It's all good.
But yeah.
But cooking is definitely something that we
you
both
surprised
enjoy
me with
doing.
Cooking as well. Like didn't I surprise you with cooking as
yes,
well?
Yes, yeah. I mean, you're
tell me about
great
the
cook.
First time I cooked for you in
oh Lord. I think I held this story for a good 9 years before I was able to share it with you.
I never knew it was that bad.
This was back in university.
Mm-hmm. What did I make for you?
You made some rice or something. Mm-hmm. The rice was soggy. I'm sorry.
Whatever. We're so unconventional. Whatever. They say people get married because she's a great cook. I don't think that was my greatest moment, but it did. It's not a representation of
you.
Who I am because mm-hmm. I throw down.
Yeah. You're good. You're good.
If you like, say I'm not good. there's that. And then there's just talking about future plans mm-hmm. and the fact that we have things to look forward to. And, you know, we pray about these things. But mm-hmm. making plans with you has been something that I've looked forward to. So that's something I actually enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm a daydreamer. I daydream all the time. I'm a daydreamer. And definitely making plans is my thing. I can make plans. I can, you know, talk big about what we're gonna do and just hope for the best, you know. So having someone to share those dreams with and make those plans is actually something that I look forward to. So
right.
Amazing.
I guess we had future plans on how we were gonna spend that $1 billion.
Yeah, we did actually play that, but yeah.
I guess we're still here.
Still here making podcasts. So apparently we did not win the lottery, but yeah, we had a good time just planning. And then, you know, for a minute there, I was just like, are you scared of the money? Because then you start
it's
this is too much money.
It's an obscene amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's an obscene amount of money. And it would change your life. It will flip your life upside down.
We
both,
are not
both,
giving
both
context,
in a good
no.
way.
We're just talking about something. 1 billion. People don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, well, yeah. Was it Making Millions? Or
Powerball maybe?
One
I don't know.
Two.
One
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway, so
we didn't win, so we don't care.
The one thing I don't get about being married is, I mean, I love that we do stuff together and everything, but must I be an Arsenal fan?
Yes.
Okay. What if I wanted to be a Chelsea fan?
This is a topic for another day.
Please. Okay, but that's the one thing, you guys. Our family is an Arsenal family.
Yes, and we will be an Arsenal family till
forever. The one thing that I definitely am using more of right now is a dishwasher. Which is actually a novel, mind-blowing thing because a lot of Nigerians don't use dishwashers.
It's like, what is it there for?
Washing dishes is like a rite of passage in most Nigerian homes. Is you wash these dishes for 2 years and then your sister takes over.
Everyone must wash.
Yeah.
In when we lived in, a couple of years ago, when we lived in Sweden, we also had a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And we just looked at it like, what is this?
Right, because it's part of the chores that your parents are going to
do.
Go
and wash the place.
Yeah. And, you know, the other day I was thinking, because you were turning this house into a Wi-Fi operated household
mm-hmm.
where we're telling Google to
we
turn on the lights.
Google
and I'm just like, when we have kids, what are these kids going to be doing? Because right now, everything is automated where we're mm-hmm. asking, turn on the light, do this, do that. At some point, we're going to have to turn off the dishwasher and bring back those chores because, yeah. But, yeah.
It's both a good thing and a bad thing, I guess.
So living in Nashville for a year now, the winter is pretty little bit colder than we're used to. Because prior to this time, we're used to like California weather, and mm-hmm. now we have to live in Nashville. So what we did last year was that we went to Florida for a week to just escape the winter. Mm. I don't know what we're going to do this year, but...
You know, the thing about... I think we both have contempt for winter.
Mm-hmm.
We love winter fashion.
Oh, yeah, we do. We love to take pictures with coats and fur and all that stuff. But after that, like, we're racing indoors.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
And then plus, you put up winter weight, which we struggle to lose in the spring.
Yeah.
So from just seeing inside, winter is coming.
Mm. I think it's bearable. It's not as biting as some other areas.
Right, right.
Like far east coast.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just as terrible. We just don't like
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
The good thing, though, in Nashville is that even an inch or half an inch of mm-hmm. of snow, you know, businesses are, like, closing up.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, the roads are...
Right. So actually, sometimes we pray that it snows so we can stay home because that's actually what happens. Mm. Like, Nashville is not really...
It's not prepared for snow.
For, like, a lot of snow. Okay, so let's talk about some of the downsides. Of course, there are good sides, which we've just spoken about, but there are sometimes when I just need my personal space. Like... I won't lie. Sometimes when you go to like your appointments, I'm like, yes, I have the house to myself, you know, and it doesn't usually last for too long because after a while, I'm just like missing you and calling you and things like that. But there are times when I just need space. Yeah. And you have to understand that personal space is a thing and it's actually required in every relationship. I think in marriage is also necessary to have your own thing going on.
Right. I think just like different from dating, when you're dating, you know, you by default have your personal space.
All right. Because you only see yourselves like maybe
right if you're not living in together, mm-hmm. you know, you only see yourselves at certain set times. You're going back to your individual houses, apartments,
mm-hmm.
And you have that space to yourself. But once you get married,
it's like 24/7, 365 days a year.
You know,
yeah.
But that's not to say that we're not having a good time in our mm-hmm. own space.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that you know it's just okay to go out the house and just kind of do your own thing,
like have lunch with your friends.
Right,
out with my friends.
Absolutely.
And get to do work on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things. I feel like in order to have a healthy marriage, at least for the past 1 year that we've been in it, for us it's been important to have our own thing going on as well.
Absolutely.
Like your husband is not the only reason for you being alive.
Existing,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to find your why, and
right,
a lot of times it might be outside your home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you just get that support from your husband.
And at the same time, even though you're running your own thing in your personal time, be it your career or your hobby or whatever it is, always support your partner
mm-hmm.
in whatever it is that they're doing. So
Right.
So they don't feel bad about, you
right.
know, yeah.
Because the one thing
I know some people who guilt, like people guilt their partners rather.
Like we're not spending enough time
right,
together.
Right, yeah. And then you, know, you just feel guilty going to work or you feel guilty, you know, doing
yeah,
your
doing
personal,
things by yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
So never, don't let that creep in.
The one thing I noticed is just my single friends have taken a step back. And I don't know if they're
wow
no I mean, hear me out. I don't think that they're trying to do that. I think they're trying to give us space to mm-hmm. get on, like mm-hmm. get a good start. But sometimes there's such a thing as too much space. Like I actually feel them retreating, and I'm just like, what are you guys doing? You know, the fact that you're married doesn't mean that you can't have single friends.
Right.
You can still get together and do stuff, but I feel like you prioritize your marriage now. It's not like, oh, we're going to do certain things. Sometimes you find that you cannot do those things and you respectfully say no. But but I find that most times I don't even have to say no. It's just people don't invite me.
You're
at least invite me so I can say no. They don't even invite me anymore to these things. And I'm just like, oh, Lord.
I mean,
so we're now looking for other married friends to hang out with. But it's not that way, guys. It's really not that way. It's actually really refreshing to have friends all over.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that we will prioritize each other first.
Right.
Before we do certain things, but we still enjoy hanging out with all our friends.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
I guess, you know, what could be a turnoff to single friends and other friends could
right.
be, like, you know, behavior around others.
Right.
So.
You're kissy-kissy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even do that. I feel that's a little creepy sometimes.
Right. I think it's even unfair. But I also even just try to, especially speaking to single friends, I try to temper... Not necessarily like play down my marriage, but I tried. No, hold on. Hear me out. I try to temper. Hear me out now.
This means to explain a lot. Well, no.
No, okay. This is what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. I try to temper so they don't feel So don't like feel like rubbing I'm rubbing marriage, in. Yeah, in, yeah. You know.
I understand that. There are definitely people who, when I was single, got married, and all I heard was they started giving marriage advice. Mm, and yeah. Every conversation also was about advice. Marriage and how to find the right guy. I'm like, yeah, chill.
You don't want to do that. You don't do that.
Right. But then again, you want to have, like, play it even where you're not neglecting your joy.
Right.
Because you want to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You know, you don't overdo it. And then you also don't underdo it to a point where your partner is like, hold my hand now.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Right. I feel you on that one, baby. Let's talk about the habits that we both have that were cool when we were dating. You found those things sweet, but all of a sudden you're married now and it's like, you do this too much. Like, and don't say paper towel.
No, I mean, again, I guess it's only natural when you're living with someone.
The little things that...
It's only normal for you to build some level of irritability sometimes, but never let it get out of hand. Right, you know, it's all love at the end of the day, and it works. The only way it would really work out is if you're friends with that person.
Honestly, yes.
If you aren't friends with your if you hadn't been friends with your partner, everything would piss you off about them. Mm-hmm. You know,
you'd be like tolerating them.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's the right term. But it's all love. You know, at the end of the day,
right.
I think there are things that you see me do that you don't like, and you kind of spot it out. Mm-hmm. And then we try to change our habits. You know.
Right. Well, we can't really change our habits, but we just get used to it.
Or adjust
ourselves. Yeah, like, I haven't really changed the things that I do. It's just now... Oh, let me tell you something. I found that... Just think about it. In the last 1 year, I've said I'm sorry a lot. Because all of a sudden, the things that you think you're doing that are awesome to you, someone is like, oh, that is inappropriate. And I'm just like, okay. But I think the lesson I've learned here is it's learning how to say sorry. Saying, you know, being sorry about something is not saying that you're sorry. It's actually... fixing what you're doing that it's not right, you know? So it's not about just saying, I'm sorry. It's like...
Just for the sake of saying
that. Yeah, it's don't keep repeating saying, okay, I'm sorry for what I did. It's like, I've learned to actually follow it up with doing things that actually show that I am trying not to repeat this thing, at least, you know? So learning how to fight fair is something that we, you know, we've learned. I think we're learning still. Mm-hmm. Separating your emotions, not blowing it out of proportion.
Right.
Because sometimes the issue at hand can be as little as vacuuming the parlor. And before you know it, you're bringing things that happened 8 years ago. They remember that time, you know? So learning how to fight fair, I think, is important because you need to focus on, okay, what are we talking about right now? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Ooh. What are we going to talk about next?
Ooh. this is a family show, so we're probably not going to
talk. No, we can talk about it.
Okay, the one thing I'm going to say is I've learned to not fake it.
You were faking it before.
I don't want to go too much into that, but I've learned to enjoy myself.
You are listening to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please visit our website, talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. You can also email us, talesbydrozy@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, Tales of an African Princess in America, on Instagram, African Princess in America. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a rating on iTunes. Welcome back.
You're speaking in parables right there.
yeah, because those who know, know. How do they say it in Nigeria? Those who know.
Sex. What about sex?
What's
different
in expectation versus reality? When you're single, you expect that when you get married, it's all gonna be a lot, because when you're single, there's restriction, guilt attached to sex, and there's so many things. But when you get married, it's not like that too. I mean, it takes you getting used to, I guess, because now you have to. You don't want to put on a schedule. You don't want to It takes
getting used. You've had sex only once.
Yeah, and you're just like, what is happening? And then the one thing that I would say is that I've been called for so many family meetings.
What do you mean?
But I'm just like, chill, dude. We're just two here. Like, which one is family meeting? You know. And so I think that it is an important topic, especially when you just get married, but it ease into it. It takes getting used to. Eventually, you figure it out, and it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Money.
Oh Lord, if you want to kill a good mood, just talk about budget. That will kill a good mood, at least for the last 1 year.
So I'm the numbers guy, and mm-hmm. And I always want to kind of plan out our spending habits,
right?
How much we're saving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to have one or two of you mm-hmm. that plans the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's able to manage the bills,
right?
Subscriptions.
I think it's better when it's both of you, actually.
Yeah,
so everyone knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
It's not to say that we have a joint account, but we both have our individual accounts as well. But I just learned that having packages arrive endlessly has a negative effect.
We're talking about this how you go in a shopping hall
mm-hmm.
and then you slowly be bringing the boxes inside your house.
So you
over
come
a
back,
period of one
right,
month.
You come back, you come back from shopping. You leave those bags in the trunk, and you know
you can't bring them all in the house.
Yeah, you bring them in because your partner is sitting there looking like, "What is this one you bought again?" Like, you know what I mean? So one trick that I learned is when I go shopping, I buy you something as well, and I show you that first. And while you're going crazy about that, I bring in my stuff quickly into the house. But you know what even gets me is sometimes I'm at work tracking my packages and I'm just like, Jesus, delivered. Oh, Lord. And Ade's at home. Okay. He's going to ask me like, why are we buying all these things again? And so just being more accountable to how we spend money, I think. And then being open about credit cards, how you're using those,
mm-hmm.
you know, because one of the most intimate things about a person is not their sexual behavior, it's actually how they spend money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be surprised about how difficult it is to open up about how you're spending money. And so, yeah, that's something that we've had to, you know, plan out and things like that.
And mm-hmm. I think it's important for your mental and financial health
mm-hmm.
to be mm-hmm. very open about how money's spent, how money's saved.
Right.
You should always talk about money.
Yes.
You know, however uncomfortable it is, mm-hmm. find the right time to talk about it. If there are any challenges, if there's any need, if there's any big money bill coming up
mm-hmm.
or they need to save money, it should be a discussion that should be had with both partners, not just, you know, one person handling or trying to figure out.
Right.
You know,
right.
how to sort out.
Because it's one of those things that if it's overwhelming, sometimes you just like push
it
under the rug.
Yeah, it can throw your mood off.
Right.
You know,
right.
And one, you know, your partner wouldn't even understand what exactly is going on if it's not shared.
And so those are some of the things that you guys we've had to figure out for this 1 year, we're still here, so that means that we're figuring it out.
Right.
But that's our list, guys.
I don't think there's a manual really.
There isn't really, you
could find stuff online,
it's general,
you know,
stuff,
but you know the real nitty-gritty is stuff that you would experience
On the job,
exactly. Mm-hmm. It's real on the job training.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on Instagram, on my Instagram page, African Princess in America, you know, I got a really interesting one. A lady who's been married for over 30 years. Well, I got a good advice. You know, a lady told me the same way I studied for my PhD and got, you know, wrote a dissertation, defended it. She's like, that's the way you should put that much energy into learning about your partner. Because she's like, if you devote that much time to it, if two of you are committed to making it work, then you know, it'll be good. I thought that was really good advice.
It's really that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just working at working as hard at your marriage or your relationship, just mm-hmm. as hard as you would work, you know, at your day job.
Right, really. Right. Because I think about it, like a lot of us put so much, imagine the amount of time we put into other things, like getting a job, how you prepare for that interview, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or even something like going to school, how much time and energy you put into that.
I think
for marriage, if you plan to be with someone for the long haul, then you might want to put in a little bit more effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely past the point where I'm saying I can't believe I'm married now, because you know there are times when I was like I still couldn't believe it for a long time, you know. And sometimes I'll tell him like, can you believe it? And he's like, I can't believe it.
Married, right?
Yeah, but we're past that point now. We actually can't believe life has happened. We can now believe
I think it's still a surprise, because I think we're both grateful for having each other, you know, not to get all super mushy, but
mm-hmm. you guys are gonna have to deal with it. It's our first year anniversary, guys.
Right. You know, you really have to appreciate being with someone that that kind of gets you, you know, and it, although I said you need to work hard on a relationship like you would work at a job, if your marriage doesn't feel like a job or your relationship doesn't feel like a job, then, you know, you're in a good space.
Right.
And I think that's where we are.
Right. Right. So that's it, guys. That's what our first year of marriage has been like. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't have ugly, thankfully. No, we don't.
One thing that you should never do in a relationship or in a marriage, never call each other names. You can argue. You can argue constructively, but never get to the level where you're calling each other names.
Right. Thankfully, you haven't really done anything
that. That should never even be in your lexicon of using, like, swear words and things. That should never ever happen.
No.
For any reason, you know.
I don't think you should even have those kind of conversations ever, actually.
Yeah.
You know, curse people. I don't believe in things like
that. It's just so ridiculous because, you know, when you start calling someone names, when you start calling your partner names, it just means that you don't respect them.
Right.
You know?
And respect is a big deal in marriage. Yes. Respect is a big deal.
There's really no going back from that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't see it. It's tough, but that's something you should avoid.
About that, okay. The one thing I've heard from people, which I think is true, is never go to bed angry. That's one thing that I've heard people say, and then even in marriage, I realized that that's actually true. If you go to bed angry, you're giving the devil a footstool. That's what the Bible says. But it's actually true.
Yeah.
It doesn't end well, so. Okay, so to recap, we're doing okay, I believe, and we're grateful for our family. You know, I definitely married into a good family. My in-laws have been wonderful, so I haven't had any reason to even be scared or anything like that. I'm happy. And you guys, that's what it's been like. There are times when we've had to really get on our knees and just, like, get back to square one with the whole thing.
Right.
But for the most part, we're doing okay.
Yeah, we're good.
We're doing okay. So marriage is not scary, you guys. I work with someone who's always telling me, every time she hears someone's story about marriage, she's like, that's why I'm never going to get married. And I'm just like, don't project these things to yourself. You know, your marriage is not going to be the way that another person's marriage is. And there are times things are going to come up, you know, you deal with it and keep moving, you know. So that's it, guys. If you've been married for a while and you have things that have worked for you that you feel like young people like us can learn from, please go ahead and send a message to us.
Or about to get married.
You know, or if whatever, you're about to get married and you feel like, hey,
cold feet.
Yeah, like, you know, you're experiencing something and just, like, you know, want to reach out to us, of course you can do that. Email address is talesbydrozy@gmail.com. And you can, of course, reach us on social media. On Instagram, African Princess in America, or on Facebook, Tales of an African Princess in America. Thank you guys for listening and have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Know that you can support this podcast with a small monthly contribution, as little as $1 every month. If you'd like to do so, please visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Thank you.